You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 16th of October. It's the opening week of the NBA season. We'll talk about the Rodney Hood extension or lack thereof. I did a bunch of weekend work, and I'll share it with you, whether you want it or not. Plus, a feel-good story on a former Jazzman, and Kevin Pelton talks a little Utah Jazz. It's all coming up on a mammoth edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! Oh, a little extra today, because it's the opening week of the NBA season. Fired up, glad to be with you. I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz. You can grab it on iTunes, on Android. You can grab it on the web at weareutahjazz.com/lockedonjazz, on lockedonjazz.net, and at 1280thezone.com. Hope you're doing great. Thanks so much for tuning in. Fired up for the NBA season to start, and a huge, huge, huge week of programming. Here's what I have for you on Locked On Jazz this week. We have a little snippet from Kevin Pelton about the Jazz coming up on this show today. Tomorrow we have the Donovan Mitchell get to know, and we're planning on having Ricky Rubio get to know for you Wednesday for opening night show against the Nuggets. Then Thursday we'll have a game to talk about and analyze, plus postcast and all the other stuff. Friday we'll be in Minnesota to get ready for the Wolves, and then next Monday we'll be in we'll be home talking about the three games we've had, and we're underway. How cool is that? So, awesome. Today's show is brought to you by the Utah Snowmobile Show. It's this weekend. It is at the Southtown Expo Center, the 20th and 21st. It was 22 degrees this morning. Winter is in the air. And then also by Murdoch Chevy out in Woods Cross. It's truck month in October. Great time to go get your winter trucks at Murdoch Chevy. All right, let's get to the show. I got to share with you, this is actually the third time that I've recorded this show, which I never do. I think you can attest to that. You've heard plenty of shows that have meandered and wandered and sucked. And this show was one of them, but it sucked so bad that I redid it. Because on the Rodney Hood extension, I got just so lost. So let me, the story's out on the Salt Lake Tribune that it's unlikely that they're going to get a Rodney Hood extension done. And I have talked about this a lot, that I thought this would be really fascinating, that there's a great desire on both sides to get it done, and that the league rules just really prohibit it from getting done. So let me see if I can explain it one more time. The first part of the equation has nothing to do with what you think of Rodney Hood's value. And that's actually where I kept getting caught in the conversation, is like, what is Rodney Hood's value? So, like, I don't know what Rodney Hood's value is, because he might be a go-to scorer. Like, he might be Harrison Barnes type, who ends up being a kind of number two or number three and a really highly paid. He might be Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, who I think we're still trying to figure out whether or not he is a starter or a sixth man. And he might be, I don't know. So his payment scale for an extension right now is probably anywhere from 15 to 20 something, right? Gary Harris just signed for 20. So just sit on that for a second. Trying to negotiate and figure out what that is probably would be very difficult, though I do think both sides are interested in getting a deal done. So that might have worked. But the league rules really prohibit it from happening. And here's why. There's something called a cap hold in the NBA. Yes, I'm going to talk collective bargaining agreement with you first time. And the cap hold is what the salary of your player is on your books for next year. So in the case of Rodney Hood, his contract for next year is whatever it is plus his cap hold. Usually that cap hold, and I'm not going to be totally, is the number one pick used to have a cap hold of 120%. Of their salary. But that was prior to the new collective bargaining agreement. And I believe that the new collective bargaining agreement has actually made it has made it a little bit higher than that, but not a huge amount. It depends on what kind of free agent you are. There's all early bird. And I think it's he'll be restricted. I think it's about 130% of his contract, unless I think actually it's Larry Bird now not coming off the rookie scale contract. It might be 190. Like, they've made this really complicated. However, all these complications and what his value are somewhat irrelevant because Rodney was picked with the 22nd pick of the draft. His cap hold is really small. So his number for next year is like 3 point something million. Then when you take the cap hold of it, it's like 5 million at the most. Maybe it's a little bit more. Like, I'm not even trying to be right here, because what I'm trying to show you is that even if you're off by a little bit, the number is so dramatic. So the Jazz sign Rodney Hood to a contract that's somewhere between that 15 and mid 20s, and they're giving up as much as $10 million, as minimum of $10 million of cap space next year. There's no way that it's a good move for the franchise. You can sign, Rodney can be on his, you still have him restricted rights next year. You can match whatever deal he gets if he gets it, but you lose that control. But you also can sign another player, because we'll be under the cap, first for somewhere in the range of $10, $15, $18 million, depending what Rodney's number gets, that you wouldn't have had otherwise. And that's the bottom line. There's nothing about this contract that has anything to do with whether you like Rodney Hood, whether Rodney Hood wants to be a part of the franchise. It is a simple rules of the game. That Rodney Hood will, one, be a restricted free agent, so the Jazz can match any deal he gets. And two, they would be giving up a tremendous amount of cap space. Now, the interesting one becomes Dante. Because Dante, I believe, is classified as a bird coming off a rookie scale contract, so he's 150%. By the way, I do think that Rodney Hood is a bird, Larry Bird coming off a rookie scale contract below the average salary, so therefore 190%. I think effective 2018-19, and I don't know if you're following the fourth year of your contract and you're off the rookie scale, it's 250%. Okay, and it's so complicated. And so, but my point of this is that it's still 10, right? So there's a bunch of different iterations of this. And what I really don't know is whether it kicks in effective 18-19 classifies as this next offseason, or whether we're still in 17-18. Okay. So anyway, his cap hold is somewhere in the range of 5 to 8 million. It's still $10 million of cap space you're giving up if you sign him. So that makes it very, very difficult to him. Now, the one that gets interesting on Dante is Dante's cap hold is so big. And with his injury, there might be something to be able to get done. And so I doubt it, but there's actually, with the injury, you might be able to do like a 2-year deal or something of that sort. All right. So that's the deal on Rodney. It has nothing to do with where they stand. Winter is here, and so is the fun. It was 22 degrees this morning. Utah Snowmobile Show is October 20th and 21st. New location, Southtown Expo Center in Sandy. The move means, and this is awesome, the show is 50% larger than last year. All the extra space means more vendors, more booths, more snowmobile accessories to check out. They're taking the 2018 mountain sleds from Ski-Doo, Polaris, Arctic Cat, the new snow bike conversion systems. Am I going to do this? Am I going to be a snow biker? I might have to try it. It looks so cool. Awesome modified sleds, turbos, skis, tracks, clothing, avalanche gear, and more. Seminars on Friday about photography with Ryan Thompson. Seminars Saturday about backcountry riding techniques with Brett Rasmussen. If you ride the trails or want to create your own, don't miss the 2017 Utah Snowmobile Show, the 20th and 21st. It's by Fly Racing at the Southtown Expo Center in Sandy. Discount tickets are available. Go to Snow West, but that's S-N-O-W-E-S-T. So the W, there's only one W there. SNOWEST.com/shows for just $5 or purchase some $8 at this show. I want to make sure that web site is right for you, that it's only one W. So I'm just going to check it to make sure right now. SNOWEST.com/shows. And those are $5 tickets. It's the 20th from 3 to 9, the 21st from 10 a.m. That's exactly right. SNOWEST.com/shows. And it's 3 to 9 on Friday, and it's 10 to 6 on Saturday. All right, so I did a bunch of work this weekend getting ready for the season. And I'm just going to run through some of our players and some of the interesting things I found and some of those. So the first thing is kind of the storylines of the Jazz season coming up. Where are the shots going to go? 16 shots a game from Hayward, 12 shots a game from Hill, 7 from Max, 7 from Lyles. And then the other thing that's so interesting about how different this team is, 4 of the 5 leading assist guys are not back. And Ricky Rubio takes over the assist game. Pretty interesting. Obviously, pace of play, we've talked about it a lot. That's a huge storyline. And how good can the defense be? And the one that I will talk about all season long is whether or not the Jazz can defend with Favors on the floor without Gobert. When Favors and Gobert are on the floor, the defensive rating was a 97.4. When Gobert and Joe Johnson were on the floor, it was a 102.6, which is still much better than league average. But when Joe Johnson and Derek Favors were on the floor, it was a 124. And if Derek Favors is healthy and the Jazz can be better defensively without Rudy Gobert on the floor, the Jazz become very good. That is a huge storyline to the season of whether or not the Jazz can defend without Derek Favors, without Rudy Gobert on the floor. And so that should be something for us to keep an eye on in this upcoming season. Because it last year, that wasn't what they were capable of doing. I look at clutch play. Really, a lot of my prep, just to your interest, I try to find things are going to happen in the game and then be prepared for it. Clutch. Last year, Hayward took 73 shots and 50 free throw attempts. The next closest was Joe Johnson with 42 shots. Gobert with 41 shots. George Hill was next with 32. Mac was with 20. So 3 of the 5 shot guys in the final 5 minutes of games gone. Rodney Hood took 19. Joe Ingles took 16. Joe Johnson, I think, has got to close games for the Jazz to be on the floor late in games for those shots. He has 2,500 clutch minutes. The next closest on the roster is Thabo Sefolosha at 790, then Ricky Rubio at 742. Though Rubio's clutch has been tough, 30% career shooter in the clutch, 80% free throw shooter. He hit 16 of 17 from the line. He's great at the line. Joe Johnson last year in the clutch hit 28 of 30 from the line. He only shot 39%, 34 from three. Rodney Hood, similar, 39%, 26% from three for his career, but he was 5 of 11 last year and 47% last year. Joe Ingles, super clutch last year. Thabo Sefolosha in the clutch, 25 of his last 28 from the line, so very, very clutch. Jarebko's got some experience, 264 minutes. AB's actually been pretty good. Looking at the final 2 minutes of games, again, it's Johnson and Thabo that have the most experience. Thabo, though, only 2 of 12 from 3 in those circumstances. Joe Johnson, 38%, 38%, 3-point, 10 of his last 10 from the line, and 6 of 8 from 3. But playing off of guys, this is where this is very different. Can Hood be that guy? Rodney Hood only played 12 minutes last year in the final 2 minutes of a close game. He hit one shot late in the game on the line. It was the only shot he took all year. He only played 2 minutes of basketball last year in the final 24 seconds of a game with a game on the line. He hit that shot. He's 2 of 11 for his career. So that'll be a big step for Rodney. Let's go to individual players. So Rubio, some interesting notes on Rubio. Post All-Star break, 16 points, 5 rebounds, 11 assists, 42% from the field, 35% from 3. He seems to do that a lot. Where the post also break. Rubio, 47% at the rim for his career. That's as much of a problem as any of the outside shooting, is the action around the rim. 5 times in the league in the top 10 assists, 5th in assists since 2011. John Wall, Chris Paul, Russell Westbrook, James Harden, all better than him. Steals, top 10 4 times. Only Stockton, Chris Paul have averaged 10 points, 8 rebounds, and 2 assists for a career. So, never had a negative net rating in his career until last year. And the Timberwolves, without him in the lineup over the last 5 years, only won 25% of their games. That'll change this year. Now, the bad side is no one ever in the three-point era that has played at least 7,000 minutes has a lower effective field goal percentage than Rubio. What's interesting when I look at his shooting, it just seems to be a confidence thing. He opens his career as a great three-point shooter. First 2 years from corner threes, he's 18 of 20, not a great, but a good 18 of 27. And then all of a sudden he had a bad year and it just slid. Since 2013, he's only hit 27% on corner threes. He's a good mid-range shooter last year, 44%. Interesting little funny note, 132 games in his career with 3 steals, 132 games with 10 or more assists. Be interesting to see what Rubio does. Dante Exum, unfortunately, I took a bunch of notes. I don't know if they'll really matter. Rodney Hood. Last year, career high, 37% from 3. Tough playoffs where he shot just 35% from the field, 26% from 3. However, post All-Star break, when that knee hurt, he shot just 29% in the paint. Big thing for Rod's season this year, the ability to make threes off the bounce. Last year, he was at 29.8%. He was at 42% on catch and shoots. But he's not going to have those same opportunities in this upcoming season. That's really weird. All right, that went away. That was someone trying to call me. Oh, you know what that might have been, though? That might have been one of the students calling in for the that could have been a class calling in, because this is the number that they call for the kid question of the night. Back to Rodney. I think what I just said is the key to his season, catch and shoot versus off the bounce. Donovan Mitchell, interesting little note I found on him, was after the last 11 games in his ACC tournament, he scored 20 points a game and shot well. He is just on an upward trajectory. He went from 7 points a game as a freshman to 16, 3 rebounds to 5, 1 assist to 3. He says the toughest person he ever played against is Allen Houston. We'll have to find out the story on that. Joe Ingles, third in the league in three-point shooting, is one of 17 players last year to play 82 games. Career high in points, field goal percentage, three-point percentage, effective field goal percentage, rebounds, assists, steals. 52% from three when wide open. Different year, ball in his hands a lot. This is where all of these notes talk kind of hit to the Hill and Hayward departure and whether or not these guys are going to get the same looks. Off the bounce, this is what Rodney's got to do. Joe Ingles went from 29% to 40%. Above the break, he went from 32% to 45%. The right corner continues to be an incredible spot for him in his career. He is 50% on right corner threes, 80% effective field goal percentage on open catch and shoots. Joe Johnson had his best three-point average since 04-05. 41% of his field goals were threes, which was a career high. When this is worth noting, when he had 1 day rest, he shot 41%. When he had 2 or more days rest, he had 50%. You wonder if the new schedule will help him. Unbelievable late in games. His three-point shooting was really predicated by how open he was. He was 25% if a defender was in 4 feet, 44% if a defender was not within 4 feet of him last year. And then this is kind of awesome. Fourth in the league in games of active players, third in minutes, sixth in field goals, fifth in 3 points, 10th in active in assists, 8th in points. He has 10 points away from catching Antawn Jamison for 41st all-time and 17 points from catching Tom Chambers for 40th all-time in NBA scoring. Could very well do that on opening night of the season. Kevin Pelton coming up here in just 1 second. Let's finish up with Faves. And I think the story on Faves is in 14-16, he averaged 16 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, and a block and a half. And then last year, he averaged 24 minutes a night. He had 6 field goal attempts in transition all season. He had his second lowest field goal percentage of his career. He played over 30 minutes just 7 times, over 25 just 24 times. His rim finishing slipped from 71% to 61%. He just wasn't the same guy. And then in game 4, he had 17.6 rebounds in 25 minutes. In game 7, he was incredible against the Clippers. In game 1, he gutted it out. And if he's healthy, can we get the return to that? That's very much the key to this season. Rudy Gobert. Post All-Star break, 17 points, 13 rebounds, 70% shooting. Shot 74% as the pick-and-roll man. And interestingly, his assists last year came from Hayward, Hill, and Diaw. So what happens now? He was second in the league in dunks with 235. He went from 64% to 73% at the rim. He defends the most shots inside 5 feet of anyone in the NBA, 10 per game. Number 2 rim protector in the league. He's Rudy Gobert. And then we got AB. AB back in the mix. Probably got to get some notes on him. There weren't a lot of good ones last year. But he shot 36%, 34% after the All-Star break. Just never felt right. But Will, I don't even have a note. I couldn't find note. AB, it's been so long since a real AB played. The one note I have on AB that's interesting is he goes away from the pick 86% of the time. And it will be really interesting to see whether he can get that right. And his rim shooting will be the other one. He dropped inside three in the 14-15 season. He dropped his rim shooting from 64% to 51%. And that was kind of where it all started to change for him. He's also a much better catch and shoot guy than he is an off the bounce shooter. And I don't know if that's, I'm not sure he knows that. So that'll be interesting. All right, Kevin Pelton joined me for Locked On NBA and had some, we got into a little bit of a Jazz discussion, and I wanted to get that to you. But I do want to tell you that it is truck month at Murdoch Chevy in Woods Cross. And Chevy is the only truck line with all the segments. The heavy-duty Silverado, the light-duty half-ton truck Silverado, the mid-size truck Colorado for you, the Colorado diesel. They've got the unibody frame. It's safer. It's a one-body frame. The Murdochs have been selling trucks, Chevy trucks, in Utah for 91 years. This is like the bread-and-butter Chevy family right here for you. Plus, you've got the SUV Suburbans, you've got the Tahoes, you got the Equinox, you got the Traverse, which has 3 rows of seating, and you got the Trax. Remarkable lineup of cars. October is truck month. They've got to get the stuff off the lot so they can get the inventory for the 2018s coming in for you. Check, go by, say hi to Tyson. Chevy family is a Murdoch family, and it's there for you in Woods Cross, right off the freeway, conveniently, easily done, and amazing deals this month going on for truck month at Murdoch Chevy. And by the way, if you want to check it out online, it's Murdoch Chev. You gotta be a little careful there. They don't have the Y on their website. You can check it out there and see what's going on for Truck Month and all of the great deals taking place for you. Check out the inventory, see what they have available, and you'll get the Murdoch service that is the signature of their family with the car washes, the oil changes for life, all the things that the Murdochs try to do to make sure you have a perfect experience. And by the way, 25% off the Trax, the Malibu, and the Cruise right now. 25% off on cars. All right, so right, Kevin Pelton on Locked On NBA. And here is, we got into the discussion of the Jazz and the value of defense and depth. All right, let's play the reverse. Let's play the good defensive team, the bad offensive team. So Utah's a 102.7 defensively last year. Arguably a better defensive roster this year than last year, but let's just hold it at 102.7. Are they 5 points worse offensively without Gordon Hayward and George Hill?
Probably not.
I mean, they would have to go from 107.4 to 102 2.7, which would make them the fifth worst offense in the NBA to be 500. Is that where they are?
I think that you probably should project some just regression in the mean, just because of the fact that, you know, when you're, so RPM has them at 104 on offense, 102.4 on defense.
And so and winning how many games then?
Which I guess is better. And then about 44 when you factor in the schedule.
So the interesting one to me on Utah is the two things that they have, and you'll actually quibble with one of these, which will be interesting, is one is just kind of to our point, the value of defense over the value of offense, right? Like we look at Jokic and Gary Harris and the addition of Paul Millsap, and you're like, that team's going to be awesome offensively. And I mean, I love Minnesota because I think Karl Anthony Towns is going to be MVP candidate because it's just time. He's just that great. He could score 30 every night if he needed to. I'm convinced of it. He's just so terrific. And, you know, you look at them and they can score. And then you look at Utah, who defends equally as well as both of those teams play offense. So it gets like, what is the value of defense in contrast of a great defense in the value of a contrast to a great offense?
So it's generally not quite as high because of the fact that there's, you know, we usually look at it in terms of rankings rather than distance from average. And there's usually more spread in teams offensively than there is defensively. So the best teams are far better relative to average on offense than on defense. And the worst teams are worse relative to average on offense than defense. So if you've got a team that's 25th in offense and 5th in defense, and a team that's 5th in offense and 25th in defense, odds are the team that's 5th in offense and 25th in defense will win slightly more games.
1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 7. Like what's slightly?
1 to 2, probably okay. In that range.
What is the value of depth? Now, you don't think Utah actually has very good depth.
I mean, it's one of the surprising results in the ESPN preview we did. You know, it goes through every team in terms of the projected RPM of their, you know, starters at each of the five positions and then the bench. And Utah actually comes out, you know, the weakest, I think, possibly of all those spots for them is the bench because of the fact that, first off, Donovan Mitchell's rating as a rookie who was not all that efficient offensively in college is really poor, and I think much worse than most people are expecting, you know, if they think about what Donovan Mitchell is going to do this season. And then, let's see, who's the other factor in this besides Donovan Mitchell?
Probably Alec Burks isn't very good.
No, although he's not projected to play all that many minutes the way I have it set up.
He is
right
now.
Udo is the other guy, which I don't particularly believe it. Udo comes out poorly based on because of the fact that the best way to predict a defense for players is just to assume that everyone is going to be replacement level on defense, and Udo was going to be much better than replacement level on defense. So that one is wrong. That's just a bad estimate.
So what is the value of depth? Let's assume that a team has good depth. Like, what's that value? What's the value of roster spots 7 through 12?
Well, I mean, I think the one question we're going to find out is, will that change this year because of the fact that you've got one fewer timeout per game that's contrasted with the fact that now you've got more rest between games. So I don't know. I don't know where that's going to go this year.
You get the rest of that conversation at Locked On NBA. We touched on a bunch of different items with that. I think that's going to be the question for much of the years. What are the value of those things? And then the other question is simply, how much can Quinn Snyder create offense? How much can Quinn Snyder create offense? And I think that's the thing is, can the system create offense? Be curious to see. I want to wrap up the show with a really good feel-good story today. I don't know if you remember Carrick Felix. We got him in a trade. He was from Arizona State. Excuse me, my throat got tired. He was an interesting kid. He was a skateboarder who then became a basketball player, really good athlete, was on our team for a while, then didn't make the roster. And then he had played about 7 games with the Cavaliers. Then he ends up in the D-League. His knee explodes on him. And he goes to the Wizards camp this year. And I saw it. I didn't think anything of it. It sounds like he's made the team. He's a really interesting kid. He got bullied he was kind of a different kid. He had bad ADD, and so he was in special education classes as a kid. So then he got bullied. by a bunch of kids and has kind of been a proponent of speaking out against that and not labeling kids along the way. And now he has found himself as this kind of, I don't know, I mean, I don't want to call him a unique character, but to some extent he is. Candace Buckner did a really nice piece on him this week. And he's made the Washington Wizards very kind of unexpectedly. He's had a tough run in his career. He's 27 years old. Just a really, really cool kind of story about a kid who's just probably, you know, probably the worst things that happened to him in his life when he was bullied and he had to fight through that are the things that gave him, I'm not saying this is the script anyone should have to follow, but it probably gave him the adversity to deal with being cut multiple times, to be able to fight through the knee injury, really just tip of the hat to Carrick Felix, who seems to have made the Washington Wizards really excited for him. That's a feel-good story that's out there. So that's today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Locked On NBA with Pelton's coming up. Utah Snowmobile Show, October 20th and 21st. Remember, go to snowest.com/shows, snowest.com/shows, $5 tickets for the Snowmobile Show. It's now at the Southtown Expo Center, and it's Truck Month at Murdoch Chevy in Woods Cross. Thanks very much for tuning in, subscribing to the podcast. I really appreciate it. I'll be back with you tomorrow. Donovan Mitchell, get to know scheduled Tuesday. Ricky Rubio, get to know scheduled Wednesday. Opening night Wednesday night. What a week. Let's do it. Go Jazz. This has been Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.